Amherst Eclectic, and I would like to talk about a subject matter that I think both men and women find baffling, because, again, we don't have enough sex education in this country. People don't talk about sex enough. People don't talk with their friends about sex enough. Maybe because they don't trust their friends, but this one's about the facts about female sexual desire. Is it spontaneous versus responsive? And libido versus stress? So, here we go. The key points that they're making in this thing is a discrepancy in sexual desire is one of the most common relationship problems that couples have. Which I can agree with that at a lot of levels, because I hear that from friends and coworkers and people that I know. My relationships, I haven't had that so much. I think, you know, you still have guys that are saying that they want more sex, but then you give it to them and they're like, wait a minute, I think I was wrong about that. I thought I wanted more, but this is too much. Whatever. Okay. Men regularly have spontaneous sexual desire, which seems to appear out of the blue. Women, however, are more likely to experience responsive desire after being turned on by some stimuli. So maybe this will help the women and the men who are listening to this podcast, because I don't think women and men know enough about their own sexual bodies to answer these questions half the time. But, okay. That look. I know that look well. The furrowed brow, the sense of holding back tears, a slightly downward tilt of the head. That look on a female client's face when she tells me, I never really feel like having sex with my husband. I feel broken. I love him. I just never feel like doing it. Now, let me tell you, that has never been my problem. But anyway, science tells us she's normal. They're all normal. All of the female clients who sit before me and shamefully tell me this, it's not that they don't have any sexual desire. They just don't realize that they have a different kind of desire. And therein lies the key to a better sex life. The truth is, 70% of women hardly ever want sex out of the blue. But this isn't the only way to want sex. Spontaneous versus responsive sexual desire. Spontaneous desire can be thought of as the feeling that you get when you randomly, out of the blue, want sex. It is what most of us traditionally view as being horny, randy, hot to trot, whatever you want to call it. 75% of men primarily experience desire in this way. However, most women are different. For most women, sexual arousal actually precedes the feeling of sexual desire. Women's desire is primarily responsive desire, meaning sexual desire that occurs in response to sexual arousal or some sort of sexual stimuli. That means that to experience sexual desire, especially in the context of a long-term relationship, most women have to be turned on in some way. First, let me say that again, for women, most often arousal comes first and desire comes after. Given that much of our ideas about sexuality are based on the male as default, women expect their sexual desires to be just like the average man's. Well, that's wrong. To be laying in bed after a long day of work and in childcare and still experience the spontaneous desire to have sex. They think there is something wrong with them when they don't. They're tired. That's why they're not having spontaneous sexual desires. They're worn out. Because women are expected to do everything. They're expected to work a job, take care of the kids, take care of that. They're still, it baffles me that we don't expect 50-50 in partnerships on everything. Anyway. But here is... But there isn't. Having primarily responsive desire, women need the right context to get into the mood. Most men need two things before their sexual desire can come online. Low stress and an erotic sensation. Touch, visual, or auditory. That's men. Stress, the ultimate libido killer. That's stress. You may have noticed that you have the best sex when you are on vacation. Or you wonder, why can't this happen all the time? This makes more sense when we think about the fact that we have two competing parts of our nervous system. The parasympathetic, rest and digest, branch, and the sympathetic, fight or flight branch. When our fight or flight branch is activated, the body reacts in ways that prepare for fighting off or running away from a predator. And the rest and digest branch, responsible for bringing relaxation to the nervous system, is deactivated. Non-urgent functions such as digestion and sex are halted in lieu of responses to run away or fight threats to our immediate survival. It's hard to want to have sex when your body feels that there is a lion chasing you. Stress can come in many forms. For example, concerns about the relationship, the grocery list, body image, sexual performance, whether the experience level of desire is normal, etc., can all create stress. Thus, stress makes more stress, and wicked cycles ensue, whereby stress about one's desire reduces desire in itself. Given that humans, especially women, need to be in a safe context where the parasympathetic branch of the nervous system is activated in order to experience desire, our modern, busy, and stress-filled lifestyles are killing desire. Use sensation to activate responsive desire. It's normal for women to need a little warming up before experiencing desire to have sex. For example, a woman might be watching a movie and a steamy sex scene comes on and she's turned on. Or when she goes to bed at night and her partner turns over and kisses her, she doesn't immediately feel like taking it all the way, but starts to feel the desire as that make-out session progresses. Again, arousal precedes desire in many cases, especially for women. You can use erotic sensation to turn on desire no matter what desire style you have. If you're a woman wanting to have more sex but not experiencing spontaneous desire, you may want to try to allow yourself to fully immerse yourself in foreplay and see if your responsive desire comes online. If you're a man feeling frustrated by your partner's seeming lack of desire, try asking for consent to sensually touch her in ways that build up to the main event to activate her responsive desire. When I tell my female clients about responsive desire, I often get a look, widened eyes, a slight smile. They finally know there is nothing wrong with them, and they know a better sex life can be on the horizon. It just takes a little foreplay. So that is a good point. I will say this much. I think I've told the story in the past, and I'll tell it again. When I was first, I've been with a few people sexually, but when I was first with my ex-husband, it was not good. Because I think he was used to women who just let him do his thing and get off, and we were young, we're still young at the time, we were still in college, so I don't, know how many people, I know how many people he told me he had sex with, but I don't know if that was honest or not. I still to this day don't know, because to me, it seemed like he hadn't had much experience, or if he had had the experience, the only reason that he was the way he was that first time was because he was just allowed to do whatever he wanted to with these women. He was very good looking, very handsome, could have been a supermodel. And he also raced motocross. So there were a lot of women around him that would probably do anything just to be with him. You know, he was winning races, he was, known, and he was a good looking guy. I've seen some of the motocross racers out there. My ex-husband was a lot better looking than I would say 75 to 80% of the motocross racers that I've seen, right? So he was scoring pretty high in those areas. So he could have been telling me the truth, right? But I didn't believe him after our first night together. It was awful. It was awful. It was so awful that I said, well, and I should have spoke up more, probably. But I just, the next time he called me, I said, I don't want to see you anymore. And he asked why, and I told him why. Because it was wham bam, thank you, man. You didn't seem to care what was going on with me, not for a moment. You didn't ask. And then, of course, over time of conversation, realizing that this was his experience, unfortunately. And I said, well, now I know why you haven't been able to keep a girlfriend. Because you're horrible. This is horrible. I didn't, I just felt like I was some doll, And he felt really bad about it, and just basically I said, I really don't think we should go out anymore. I don't want to be with somebody like that. I went from having this very wonderful experience with other people that I've been with, and now I'm having this horrible experience with you. That tells me something's wrong with you, right? So because I had good experiences, I just figured, well, you've been with other women. You said you've been with all these women. Like, is this how what you're just how you what you're like? I don't want to live my life like this. I want to actually have great sex. I don't want to have somebody who's just going to use me. So he talked me through it and said he was sorry that he didn't know that he was like that. He said nobody had ever told him that. I said I find that hard to believe. But then again, maybe nobody did. So once I told him what I needed, once he listened, he ended up being pretty great. It ended up being pretty great after that. But he had to realize that he wasn't doing things. You have to talk to people. You have to tell people. I mean, he went from being like someone I never wanted to see again to being probably the best sex I've ever had in my life at this point, to this point, right? So, because he listened, because I told him, because he wanted to learn more about what I needed, he listened to what I needed. And I can remember later on in our relationship, I hear him talking to guys about, well, you gotta do what your wife or girlfriend wants. You gotta talk to her. You gotta listen to what she needs. Whenever he was talking about not just relationship-wise, which he would tell people relationship-wise, but when he was talking to guys about sex, he's like, you've gotta talk to her. You've gotta ask her what she wants. You've gotta take time. You've gotta, Now he was all open about it, and being so metrosexual and, talking to his friends. But he, was trying to help them because he knew how it made him feel when I said that to him. He told me later, he said, I almost lost you because I was an idiot. I didn't do what you needed to do, but also because past people had never said anything to me. I thought I was doing okay. And I don't know how that. You thought that was okay, but all right, I guess you got your rocks off. That's all that mattered, huh? And so you have to talk to your partner because it was like a total night and day after I told him what I needed. So, men, you have to understand that you need to listen to your partner. And you need to find out what they need. And same with women. Women need to listen to their partners and find out what their partner needs. And then you have to, you both have to kind of decide if this is the right partner for you. If this is going to be the right person for you, not just on an emotional and intellectual level, but on a sexual level. And sex is a big part of a relationship. It's where you connect. It's the way you show each other that you care. You know, you're hugging, you're kissing, you're holding hands. You know, you're having sex. And so it's intimacy, physical intimacy is a big part of a relationship. And if it is not going well, everything else is kind of going to fall apart. And I know there are a lot of relationships when people get older where they're not having sex anymore and they still maintain their marriages and they still maintain their relationships. But one or the other of that couple is not happy. Trust me. Because to not have that intimacy, to not have that physical relationship, I think would be tough for anyone to maintain. So you have to talk to each other. You have to tell each other what you need. You have to, you know, even if you are embarrassed about something that you want to try sexually, you know, ask it. You know, your partner can say no if they want to. They don't have to do it. But you have to be open to that. And what this article has said and what this doctor has said is you have to take it slow sometimes. Like she said, you know, men are more responsive sexually because it's just about, you know, I mean, men have been masturbating their whole lives. Most of them have never thought that was wrong. Most women were told it was wrong. Because we live in a patriarchal society, most women have not explored what they like sexually. They have not masturbated. They have not used a vibrator, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas men are just off getting the bathroom, getting their rocks off. You know, they're masturbating all the time, you know. And they're told that sex is okay and they can have sex with as many women as they want. But, you know, those women who have sex with you before you get married, they're nasty. You don't want to marry them. You have to find the good girl, which is usually the person who is being told, don't have sex, and they're scaring her half to death, right? And you're going to go to hell, that kind of stuff, right? And then, okay, so then this guy who's had sex with all these different girls ends up with little Miss Muffet who hasn't ever had sex. What do you think's going to go wrong? 5 million different things are going to go wrong in that relationship, right? She has never had sex. She doesn't know what she's doing. And you're 10 years light years ahead of her as far as having sex. Because you've been masturbating. You've been having sex with different women. You know, it's not that that woman is, you know, going to be frigid. It's just that she needs to catch up to where you're at. And you're going to have to slow down to where she's at. And you're going to have to communicate, okay, what do you need me to do? You know, sometimes, you know, I'm sure there are relationships where it's not sex right away, even if they're married. You're not going to be having sex right away. Because if you're married to somebody who's never or in a relationship with someone who maybe has only been with one person or never had sex, they've got a lot of catching up to do if you are on the opposite scale, right? So you have to be, you know, understanding and patient, or you flip that and the guy has decided to stay celibate until he gets married and you're the one who has had sex with several different men. Same thing there. You've got to slow down and take your time with him. You know, maybe he's been taught never to masturbate. I don't know how any guy gets away with that. I really don't know how a woman doesn't masturbate either. I mean, you have all the same feelings. But, so you have to catch up with each other. And you have to communicate. And then once you get there, then you're going to have these issues to deal with. The stress levels, the things that are happening in daily life that are going to kind of, like I said, you know, if most women are working a job, taking care of kids, and taking care of the house, we still haven't quite caught up to equality in a lot of relationships. She's going to be tired, you know, or the guy is working 3 jobs. He's going to be tired, right? But what I've noticed, even with the guy, no matter how tired they are, they seem to be able to have sex. But they want to have a quick thing. You know, they don't want to take the time that needs to be taken in order for a woman to be aroused. And as I've talked about in past podcasts, there are certain steps it takes, you know, there's certain steps for a woman to be aroused, to get excited, come to that arousal stage so that her vagina opens up so that the penis can enter the vagina. Otherwise, if you put your penis inside a vagina too soon, it's going to be painful for a woman. So you have to take the time to do the foreplay, to ask a woman what she needs, what is going to excite her and bring her to arousal before you can even start to have intercourse, you know, penetration sex, where you're putting the penis inside the vagina. And the vagina is made to expand, you know, as a woman is getting more aroused. So it benefits you as the guy, particularly if you have a much larger penis, it benefits you to really get your partner aroused, because physiologically you want your partner to become excited so that her vagina opens up more, so there is room for you to put your penis inside of her. I mean, this is just basics, you know, it's basic 1, 2, 3. This is how it works. This is just basic sexual education. You have to make sure that you're getting your partner excited. You have to make sure that the blood is not just rushing into your penis, but the blood in her body is rushing to her vaginal area. And she's feeling excited and getting that desire. I mean, it all happens not just physiologically, but also up in the brain. You know, you have to be taking your time with somebody. And sometimes foreplay isn't just in the bedroom. It starts before you even get to the bedroom. Taking out for a nice dinner, pulling out the chair for her, putting her coat on and off for her, opening the car door for her, you know, being a very courteous and gallant and gentleman that takes care of her. That isn't just about, oh, you know, I think women mistake this many times as being this feminist thing that, you know, feminist actually means equality. So it really isn't about feminism, but I think, you know, you get the wrong idea when a guy is doing that kind of stuff. It's not that he may be a misogynist. That'll come out in the conversation. But if he's not, he still wants to hold the door for you. He still wants to open the door for you, because this is all part of foreplay, ladies. He's trying to treat you well and show you that he wants to be kind, he wants to be loving, he wants to be gentle. Those are all really good signs. Because once you get behind the closed doors of the bedroom, you want someone who's willing to take their time. He is willing to take his time and take care of you and you know, give you what you need and communicate you. And, you know, that's what opening the door is. That's what, you know, opening your car doors. That's what, you know, pulling out your chair is all about. He's showing you that he genuinely cares for you. He genuinely is willing to do whatever it takes to make you feel good or feel cared for. Those are all positive things, ladies. Don't make it into some sort of misogynist, you know, we're not equal thing. No. This is what guys do to show you that they care about you. And, you know, women can do the same thing. Women can reciprocate and, you know, you can hold a door for something. Just being kind to one another is a great way to start the evening. And it's also foreplay. You know, you're going out to eat, having great conversations, spending time with each other. He's listening to you and what's happening to your day, and you're listening to him and what's happened in his day. You're forging a friendship within the relationship that you can talk to each other. This is the beginning of communication. And communication is a good thing, that you're able to do those things back and forth, telling each other about each other's day, you know, confiding in one another about things that you need to talk about. That is the beginning of communication. Communication then takes itself into the bedroom. Later on, when you are wanting to arouse your partner, he feels cared for, you feel cared for, that's why you then feel a desire to have sex, to kiss, to hug, to take it to the sexual bedroom, right? So that's what all of that is about. You know, you have all of that foreplay ahead of time. You treat each other well all the time. It's going to be better in the bedroom, right? When you feel respected as a woman, when he feels respected as a man, it's going to be better in the bedroom. When you feel loved and nurtured and cherished on both sides, it's going to be better in the bedroom. Also, when you're more openly communicating outside the bedroom, it's going to be easier to communicate inside the bedroom and tell each other what you need. And if you are communicating, then he's going to understand that you're tired, that you've had a long day. Maybe this isn't the night to have sex. Maybe this is the night to just hold each other and get some rest. Maybe then when you wake up in the morning a little early, maybe then you can have sex. Once your girlfriend or your wife is well rested after having kids, maybe the time for you to have sex from now on is to schedule it in the morning before you go off to work. It's a great time to have sex. Or maybe it's meeting for lunch and seeing if you can maybe get an hour and a half lunch rather than your normal 30 minutes. Maybe work a little bit longer of a day so that you can meet each other for lunch when the kids aren't around, when they're off at school or in daycare, and you can have a midday afternoon delight. Work it out with where you work that you can work a little bit later in the day so that you can have time in the middle of the day to meet up and have sex. There's lots of things you can do to relieve that stressful feeling, you know? You know, the kids, or, you know, if the kids are home all day, then schedule times, you know, when the kids are asleep and make sure that you're getting enough rest. Maybe during the day when the kids are having a nap, maybe you should take a nap, you know, so that you're rested by the time your partner gets home by the end of the night. All of those things are into play. Or if someone is having a lot of stress at work, maybe, When they come home, have a hot bath ready for them. Make a bubble. Maybe the guy should run the bath for his wife and take care of her. Maybe the guy should be giving his wife a back rub. If she's going through a lot of stress and a lot of things are bothering her, that can sometimes help. Give her a full body rub. And don't let it lead to sex. You know, just let her go to sleep. Then tomorrow morning, maybe something will happen. So it's all those things. You have to really just take time with each other to make sure that you feel wanted and needed. Make sure that each one of you don't have a lot of stress going on. Same applies for a man. If he's having a lot of stress, maybe, you know, run that bath for him. Maybe give him the back rub or the whole body rub to de-stress. A lot of times, what I've learned with men is they need about an hour and a half after work to sort of disconnect. Men just work a little bit differently. To sort of disconnect from work to home, they just need maybe about an hour and a half of quiet time. So there was a lot of times I would just leave my husband alone after we got home from work, or even after we got home from our own business. I would go to the gym, I'd work out, and then I would come home, make dinner, gave him about an hour and a half to 2 hours of decompressing time for him to feel comfortable to move on to the next level with each other. So there's lots of things you can do. I'm trying to think if there are other things that apply. I mean, read the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus is a really good book. I know everybody jokes about that book, but that is actually where I read about how men need to decompress for a certain amount of time after work. How sometimes when you tell a man something, it takes him 2 or 3 days to process what you've said to him before he finally gets it. It can take 2 or 3 days. And you know what? He was right. I have had that come back to me so many times after I've told a guy how I felt about something and they didn't respond to me, and then they came back 2 or 3 days later and said, "You know, I've been thinking about what you said. And now I understand. Now I understand what you were trying to tell me. And here's what you were trying to tell me." It takes them a few days to process it. Men are made different than we are, you know? And same thing with men. You know, women are pretty immediate and they need to, you know, they want everything to kind of be solved right away so that they can move on. You know, we're multitaskers. We want to get this done, get this done, get this done, get this. So we are like trying to check off the list. That's why we're trying to rush things so much. That's why it was really hard for me to like say something, not get a response from my significant other, and then get a response 2 or 3 days later that they understood. It was really hard for me because I'm very much a multitasker. I want to just check that list and get it done and get it out of the way. But I've also learned that I can't do that with everything. You know, emotions, feelings between two people don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You have to give a guy time to process what you've told them, right? Same thing applies to, you know, people, you know, people expect their male significant other to read their mind. You know, guys keep saying that, read their mind. I exactly know what they mean. You know, when my husband or my boyfriends in the past have wanted to buy me gifts, I told them what I wanted right out. And I would give them a list. Even at Christmas time, I would go pick out things and put them on hold, make sure that the place had a hold, and then I'd tell my significant other where those things were at the different stores that I wanted, and that they could go look at them and pick what they wanted to, you know, I found something that I liked, go to the store and pick what you want to buy. Now, my husband used to just buy everything I put on hold, you know, and I didn't plan it that way, but he was like, "I'm such a great shopper and I got everything with such good price." He said that he was going to spend way more than what he ended up spending on me because I saved so much money. But I never got it. I don't get offended that they can't read my mind and, you know what I want. I come right out and I tell my significant others what I want. Not just for gifts, sexually, emotionally, psychologically. They can't read your mind. You have to communicate with your partner. You have to open your mouth, the words have to come out, and you have to tell them. You will have a much happier relationship if you quit expecting your partner to know what you're thinking all the time, how you're feeling all the time, what you want from them all the time. You have to open your mouth and communicate. Same thing with the men. You have to tell your girlfriend or your wife what you need, what you want. And I know that's really uncomfortable for guys to do that because they've been taught all their lives to not feel and not communicate. And that women should just be a certain way, and that's it. That's not how relationships work. You have to talk to one another. You have to tell each other what you need and what you want. And that is going to benefit not only the relationship in all areas, but it is going to benefit you in that bedroom. It is going to benefit you when you're having sex. When I feel heard, when I feel loved, when I feel cherished, and when I feel like all the things around the house are done, I feel like I'm being respected in all areas, I am aroused by my partner. That arouses me. To know that I'm fully loved, and then when we get into the bedroom, I don't feel used. I think a lot of women feel used when their partners, their male partners, and this may be true in homosexual relationships as well, when their partners are not understanding them, not giving them what they need, not respecting them. You know, if you're being expected to do far more around the house than your partner is, you're probably not going to want to have sex with them. I mean, you're going to resent them. You're going to resent that you're doing far more than they are, and there's no 50-50 split in the chores around the house. And we're talking everything from inside the house to outside the house, to cars, to, you know, fixing up, you know, things that need to get fixed up. If you guys are not equally sharing those burdens, it's not going to be good as good in the bedroom. That's something I will say that I've had exes that were very good with that. I hate cleaning the cat box. My ex cleaned the cat box because he knew I hated that. I hated cleaning the bathroom. My ex did that for me because he knew I hated to. He found the things that I hated the most and he said, listen, I'll do those. And you know why he did that? Because he knew that was going to benefit him, not just in the bedroom, but in our whole relationship. That I was going to appreciate the fact that he did that for me. He found something that I could not stand to do, but he was okay with it. He was like, I'm okay with doing this, you know? And the reason he found that out is when we had the business together, I was not going to clean the male bathroom. These guys were disgusting. I said, you're going into that bathroom, you clean it. I'm not doing it. And we actually ended up having he ended up having a revolving shift of each guy had to clean the bathroom. You know, there was every day everyone had a chore of cleaning the bathroom. Because if you're going to use it, you're going to clean it. That's it. And they came down to that, you know. So that was a great thing. I didn't have to clean the bathroom. You know, I hated doing it. I hated it. And it was because it was sort of like punishment things that I did when I was living at home. That was like a punishment to clean the bathroom for us kids. Or a punishment to clean the litter box for us kids. You know, so those were the things that I didn't want to do. And frankly, it's disgusting, you know. And when it comes to something like that, that's me. I hate doing that kind of stuff. I'll do it if I have to. Now, living alone, I don't mind cleaning the bathroom. I don't mind cleaning the litter box because it's something I have to do. And particularly, I don't mind cleaning the bathroom because I'm the only one in there. So I know that it's not disgusting, right? So there's things you just have to do. There's things you have to do that can prepare you to have a better sex life. And if you're doing those sort of things, one of the things that an ex did is he would get up when it snowed, he'd go out and he'd clean off the driveway, he'd clean off that, he'd clean off that, and clean out, you know, anything that we were going to drive out of the house on, make sure that my car was warmed up when I got out there. And then in really bad weather, he would be too concerned about me. He would drive me to work because I worked at a TV station. I had to be in early in the morning for the morning news. And he would drive me to work and then come back. He would arrange with where he worked. He's, you know, he would tell him, listen, I'm leaving at this time to go take my girlfriend wife home because I don't want her driving in this weather. So I'll work a little bit overtime, but I'm going to go get her now, you know. And he would make sure that he could leave and take me back home in really bad weather. That, to me, that turned me on, that he went out of his way to do that for me. Or when there were times that I had recitals, because I was in voice performance at an arts college, and he would bank out that time to come see my recital, because most of them are not at regular times. They're like in the middle of the day, because it's, you're doing recitals for teachers who are grading you on your performance. He would, and your family members can come watch. They do allow that to happen. He would bank out a time, and sometimes they do it in groups. It's more than just one person. He would bank out that time, and he would come and watch me at my recital. That turned me on. He took the time to come to my recital. And he was very emotional afterwards. And so those are the kind of things I'm talking about. This is pre the bedroom. And, you know, and I think he got it after a while, because when we were, you know, making love, or before, you know, kissing or whatever, I would say to him, it meant so much to me that you came to my recital today. And then he knew that, you know, that made for a, you know, it made for a better sexual experience for both of us. And same with me doing things for him, vice versa. You know, I've thrown in birthday parties. I've done stuff like that. You know, that meant something to him. Or I would go to a family function that maybe I wasn't really looking forward to, because his family was a little crazy, because I knew what it meant to him, right? Or I would go to football games with him in the freezing cold. You know, he loved it when I went to football games with him. He got season tickets for both of us. He wanted me there all the time. That meant something to him, that I would go to the game with him, that I would get into it with him and tailgate ahead of the football game and things like that, and hang out with him and his friends. And, you know, he loved that. He loved that I did that. It meant something to him. And when I finally said, can I stop going to the games? It's just too cold. I've been doing this for years. Can I stop going? He understood. He understood why. But he also missed me. He told me he missed me. He missed me not being there. So I didn't really realize the impact of me not going, of what that really meant to him. So I started going again. So even though I really didn't want to go, and it really, you know, I really wasn't into it like he was, and he would go to the ballet and the opera for me, you know. So these are the things that you do that pepper getting a better amorous feeling, more sexual desire in the bedroom. These are the things that you do. Now, like I said, you're not going to be able to, if someone's tired, they're just going to need sleep. If someone's having erectile dysfunction, they're going to need to go to the doctor and find out what's wrong. If a woman is getting older and she's finding that she's drier, you're going to have to use lubrication. I mean, there are physiological things that you're going to have to go see the doctor about, right? Those are things you need to check with your gynecologist or your urologist or your, you know, you have to check with them on those things. But beyond that, if you are doing caring things for each other outside of the bedroom, that is going to come back to you inside of the bedroom. And, you know, that basic article, you know, it's just talking about basic things. It's an article that I read. It's not talking about the whole picture, you know. And like I said, my ex went from, it was horrible, I never wanted to see him again, to, he absolutely was wonderful, you know, in and out of the bedroom. And then he was giving his friends and co-workers lectures on how they should be with their wives if they wanted their work. And the time that I heard him giving that, you know, telling this guy that, it was because he cared about the guy, and the guy was having a hard time in his marriage. I mean, they were almost going to get divorced. And he sat him down and said, here's what you need to do. Bring her flowers on the holiday. You know, that was the other thing. My ex would always, for all the holidays, I told him, listen, there's only maybe 9 days out of the year that you have to be nice to me. Birthdays, anniversaries, Valentine's Day, Sweetest Day. I don't think it's too much to ask, out of 365 days in a year, that you be nice to me 9 days out of the year. that you buy me flowers, that you get me a gift, that you take me out to dinner, that you're kind to me, and it will pay off for you. I'm telling you right now. And I don't think it's too much to ask that I do the same for you. 9 or 10 days out of the year, you know, all those little holidays, Christmas, Easter, whatever. And he got it. And, you know, he told his friends the same thing. You know, what is that? 10 days out of 360? I could hear him telling people this all the time, things that I had told him. But because I was honest in my relationship, because I told him what I wanted, and he told me what he wanted, we had a much better relationship because of that, right? Yes, it didn't last because he had an addiction, right? His addiction came, you know, running back into our lives. But for the time that we were together, it was pretty wonderful because we communicated with each other. You can't fight that sort of a mistress. But overall, communication is the way to do it. So take the communication from telling each other what you really need on the outside the bedroom to inside the bedroom. Tell your partner what you need inside the bedroom. And that's my advice on that. You know, if you want to increase desire, you know, all of those things come into play. And then, of course, the technicalities of what you're doing inside the bedroom come into play as well. You have to be, you know, you have to do what each other's bodies respond to. And that takes sexual education. And I have several podcasts on that, right? You have to know what the male body does. You have to know what the female body does. You have to basically understand how all of it functions. Once you learn that, you can have better sex. And instead of it being this dirty old man kind of sex, it can be a very loving, giving exchange in the bedroom. And it doesn't always have to be, oh, we're making love. You can have those quick and easy, sexy sex sessions where you're just having sex, right? It doesn't always have to be this moving experience. So, okay, that's just my analogy of this whole situation of increasing desire in the bedroom. What do you guys think? What's your experiences? What have you found that's made it better? You know, I've talked about bringing sex toys into the bedroom as well to help, you know, create a little more excitement and desire there and a little more fun in the bedroom. So, you know, there's lots of things that you can do. So let me know what you think. Until the next time.